Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I get the sense Ben Cherington is looking to do something big. Talking to him on Sunday on that radio show, he discounted the idea. I mentioned, you know, maybe nothing just needs a tweak. And he didn't really want to use that word. And he also talked about not trying to trade for a rental. So I think something's brewing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think he's going to pull a trigger on something.
On a move that would make them like a buyer, you mean?
Well, in essence, yeah. I mean, but not just buying for the rest of this year. I mean, okay. I think that we say a buyer, oh, they're going to try and win this year. And I'm not saying that he's giving
You're
up on this
he's
year.
He's trying
but
to make a long-term move.
Yeah, but impactful. You know, not one of those guys that you get from double-A or triple-A guy that's going to be up in a couple years.
Let's just put this little piece of all of it to the side. Whether or not Ben Cherington should be allowed to make trades at the deadline. Let's just pretend for a second here like we're all cool with it. I do think then that the way to go would be to buy a little, sell a little. Importing and exporting. I think that's what you got to do here at the deadline. If you're trying to get the Pirates back into contention, no, not for this year, but in this Paul Skeens window, then it can't just be, we got to sell off IKF. And you got to sell off Andrew Heaney, and you see if someone will give you a bag of balls for Tommy Pham, all these guys on one-year deals. No, you got to ship something out that's going to get you something back in return. And if you're moving out a Mitch Keller who's got a few years of control, really, at not that big of a price, you better get something worthwhile in return. And tremendous USA Today baseball writer Bob Nightingale, one of the most tapped-in insiders in all of professional baseball, he wrote that the Cubs would, quote, love to get their hands on Mitch Keller and David Bednar, end quote. Before we get into who they should trade, who they shouldn't trade, what they should be looking at in return, can you really trade those guys to a division rival?
I mean, it's what, I guess it's a double-edged sword, or I guess that would be the saying, right? Like, no. Why? What's the point? If you're trying to, I guess, rebuild and trying to get, you know, the legitimate prospects in, and you give away two of your better pitchers, a starting pitcher and your closer, to your rival who you're going to be competing against for years and years and years, what sense does that make at all?
None. I would not do it.
It makes zero sense.
I wouldn't do it. It would be different for me, man, if it were the Penguins we were talking about. When's the next time they're going to be good? I don't know. You trade, let's say, Ricard Raquel to a division rival, yeah, and you get a massive haul in return. I ain't a beggar right now. Beggars can't be choosers. I don't know when we're going to be good. I'm not thinking about competing. Highest bidder, let's go. And they did it with Carolina and Jake Gensel. I'm totally fine with that. I'm not fine with it as it relates to the Pirates, because I'm not looking, hopefully, my God, at a six-year rebuild here. I'm trying to get good next year. You need to get good next year. Texter writes in immediately. They did it with Aramis Ramirez. Yeah, that sucked. And the Pirates weren't really competitive then, so you didn't want to see Aramis go. But I guess you could twist it into making some sense. I'm not trading anybody to the Cubs, to the Cardinals,
no,
to the Brewers,
no,
to the upstart Reds, whom I'm incredibly jealous of. Mo Egger, who has been on our show before, who covers the Reds and does a talk show in Cincinnati, he tweeted out yesterday, feels good to high-five strangers walking out of the ballpark. That makes me sick. That should be us, man.
Wow.
Isn't that a great feeling?
That's a great feeling, yeah.
I remember when the Steelers beat Tom Brady and the Patriots in 2018, and I was doing a post-game show with Stan Saverin, and the elevator was so jam-packed filled with media members that we decided to take the stairwell down, and Steelers fans were just going bonkers, and they wound up not making the playoffs that year, and then it all went south with Antonio Brown and all that jazz. But just that feeling of high-fiving random Steelers fans, high-fiving random Penguins fans, Pirates fans, there's nothing like that.
That's a good... Wow.
And they have it and we don't.
Yes, they do.
And they've got a new ace pitcher that they just called up. We saw the Brewers with this ace yesterday, Mizorowski, whatever the hell his name is. He's 6'7", he's throwing 103 miles an hour. They got their Skeens. Reds got their Skeens. We have a Skeens. That's all we got. But you can't trade in the division because you're trying to be good in these next 3 years.
Right.
Ideally, realistically or not, you'd like to be good next year, and say you are good. Say you get a great return from the Cubs, and it propels you to excellence. Hooray! And you lose the division by like 3 or 4 games because Mitch Keller's won 4 or 5 games
exactly.
for him that they otherwise wouldn't
exactly.
have won, or David Bednar, bang, closes the door on some rally in the 9th inning? No, you can't do it.
No, no way.
And I know that this is like pie in the sky. Oh, the Pirates contending and being 1-2 in the division with the Cubs? Yeah, it's unlikely. Let's just call it what it is. But that is the goal. And if that's the goal, you can't help them while helping yourself because, yeah, ideally, again, you propel yourself to closer to greatness, but then you take them from where they already are, which is the number one team in the division, and you propel them even further. You can't do that.
Nope. Nope.
Because
you know that they'll pitch well there.
Yes.
Even better.
Yes, and I saw Cubs fans all up in Bob Nightingale's mentions and a writer for the Cubs who covers the Cubs who said he could confirm that there's been discussions between the Pirates and the Cubs. Cubs fans in the mentions were like, a guy with a 4+ ERA, he stinks. Yeah, tell me you don't know ball without telling me you don't know ball.
Yeah, or pay attention.
Mitch Keller's a really good pitcher, and Mitch Keller's an innings eater, and they would be lucky to have that guy. But no, Ben Charrington, please don't do that. Please. Please. And you know he'd do like the sentimental thing. Here, you can take David Bednar. We'll take Ian Happ in return. One Pittsburgh guy for another Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, man. No, you just can't do it.
You can't do it.
No. No. I'm sure that if that's out there and the Cubs, you know, they're doing pretty good this year. I'm sure if that's out there and the Cubs want that deal, that there's another team out there that wants that deal.
I would think so.
Right? Has to be.
I think Mitch Keller is probably your best tradable asset. He asks, kind of. Because I think David Bednar, Dennis Santana, I think they could command a lot. Like Dennis has been outstanding yep. this year. David Bednar, a 2-time All-Star in his career, has finally turned it around, and he looks every bit as good as he's ever looked, really. I don't even think he had his best stuff his last time out, and he still got it done. He's dropped his ERA below 3. Relievers at the deadline tend to get a pretty decent haul. I know he's been linked to Detroit, but I think about Keller, Doran. So you would owe him whatever the prorated version is left on his deal this year, which would be, you know, half roughly of $15 million. Next year, $16 million, then $18 million, then $20 million. For the big-time teams in the league, for a third to fifth starter,
that's chump change.
It's chump change. And you care much more about the years of control than you do about the price tag associated with acquiring a Mitch Keller. I've said it since this offseason. They probably should trade Mitch. Not because he's not good, not because I don't like him. I think he's a great story of perseverance, a guy who looked like a deer in the headlights. I've heard he's a very nice man. I respect the hell out of Mitch Keller, but they don't spend. And if you could go money out, money in,
mm-hmm.
and you could get a hitter that's going to cost something similar or not, you could get, let's say, a AAA player that's knocking on the door, and then you could spread some of that money around this offseason. I think that makes all the sense in the world. So I would be looking to trade Mitch Keller. The problem is 25 teams in Major League Baseball, according to Bob Nightingale, view themselves as buyers. And so there's even a bigger discussion here.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world, in year 6, with this pitching staff, can you not even be in the conversation as a buyer? It is harder than not to halfway through the season play yourself out of it, and here we are, the Pirates have. It's a disaster. There's 30 teams, 25 of them think they're in
it.
Yep. And two of the teams that don't think they're in it are the historically bad Colorado Rockies, and I saw a hilarious video that came out last night of them dropping a pop-up in the rain. Their second baseman, the ball's in the air. He's looking through the raindrops, and he actually cradled because he was scared of the ball hitting him in the face, a move that I became famous for in my seventh grade baseball team. So they're historically bad, so they're out of it. The White Sox were historically bad last year, so they're out of it. And then you've got the Pirates, the Marlins, and the Athletics. That's it. That's the list of teams that aren't competitive right now. It is so much harder to suck than it is to be on the periphery of playoff contention. And Ben Charrington's going to be allowed to make these moves at the deadline. It's insane to me.
If they were to do the Cubs move, I mean, it would have to be an eye for an eye.
Yes.
I mean, it would have to be, like, no joking, not joking, Ian Happ and, like, Dansby Swanson for those two.
Give me Pete Crow Armstrong, damn it.
They're not going to get rid of Pete Crow. But it would have to be, like, two starters, for sure. Then I'd probably think about it. All right, yeah, okay, we could live with that. Dansby Swanson and Pete or Horner, Nico Horner. Or
you know what? You're right. You have to overpay then.
Yes.
If you want Mitch Keller, you're in our division, you're leading the division, you have to overpay.
Yeah.
And if they overpaid, and I'm talking about, like you said, two major league hitters.
Yes.
All right, fine, let's do the deal.
Fine.
Problem is, and this is where it gets tricky for Ben Charrington. It's all seemingly tricky for Ben Charrington, but you are going to have a hard time making a quote-unquote baseball trade at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a contender, you're going to have a tough time parting from pieces that are on your major league roster. I think
unless you have a good...
A lot of depth, right. I think it's going to have to wind up being Triple-A players that are highly touted prospects that are knocking on the door to be big
leaguers. I'm not making that deal in division, though.
I'm not doing it in division either. I need a guy that's proven it at the big league level.
Absolutely.
So I would trade Mitch Keller, but I would not trade him to the Cubs.
No.
What say you, 412-928-9370? ESPN came out with a piece, top 50 most likely players to be traded. There are three Pirates on that list. We'll get to that coming up next. Bob Nightingale mentioned a whole bunch of bucks that he thinks could be had at this year's deadline. Is O'Neill Cruz on either list? We'll get to that coming up. Paul Skeens pulled after 78 pitches yesterday. We'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour. Lots of football with our guy Pat Bostick from 7 o'clock until 10.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doran made a good point during the break because I said it's tough to get teams to give up rostered players if they're in contention. And ideally, that's what you would get back for a Mitch Keller. But you said, hey, maybe if you staple a Key Brian Hayes to him, hey, we'll take your third baseman. You're deficient in pitching and you can hit. Well, all right, you want Mitch Keller. You're going to have to take Key Brian Hayes as well, and then that way you've got a guy that you can at least plug into the lineup who you know is going to play elite defense, and you're going to score runs anyhow.
Right, exactly. I mean, eye for an eye. Maybe attaching IKF to it may be too rich, but if you get, like, say, a Dansby Swanson and a Ian Happ, two positions that you kind of need and you could kind of solidify shortstop and outfield, then you attach a IKF that could be a plug and play, has had a decent year, and you know that if you plug him into the lineup at the bottom part of the lineup, he's going to be a good hitter for you if you think that you are close this year. So attach him with Mitch Keller and Bednar and get two rostered major league players of need. That's the only way I would do it in division. Eye for an eye.
Yeah, you have to ask for the moon.
Yep.
Absolutely. I wonder if they're going to be aggressive in shopping some of their pitching depth beyond just a Mitch Keller. Greg Brown says that he gets the sense that Ben Cherington's up to something big. I heard Noah Hyles last night with Don Kelly, and he said he hadn't heard that, but it would make a lot of sense. You've got Bob Nightingale of USA Today saying that the Cubs and Pirates have had discussions about Mitch Keller. It does seem like something big could be going down here. Would you trade a Bubba Chandler? Would you trade an Ashcraft? Would you trade a Solomato? Would you trade a Mike Burrows? I mean, there are varying degrees of these guys. Burrows isn't Chandler. Chandler's the number one prospect in all of baseball since Roman got called up. Roman Anthony, I almost called him Roman Wilson. I stopped myself. Yeah, good for me there. I'm on my game. How about that?
I saw that.
I don't know if those are deals you do now or you do them in the offseason or what, but you've got pitching. That's where you should be trading from.
I feel like Ashcraft could be on the table for some reason because they're moving him back to the bullpen after he had a good outing as a starter. To me, that seems like they're trying to protect him and trying to protect, you know, how good he was. Maybe I'm off base, but I feel like Ashcraft is going to be a guy that's going to be gone.
He was a top 100 prospect when he was healthy, and right. Then he wasn't healthy. But when he pitched, he's been outstanding for the Pirates. Mm-hmm. You'd have to really move me for me to move him. But that's what you're looking for.
Right.
Any GM with eyes can watch what Ashcraft did the other day and what he's done since he came up to the show this year. And you can see that guy looks like he can be a mainstay in a major league rotation. I mean, he's got great stuff. That 97-mile-an-hour fastball moving like 4 feet, that is nasty. Texter, nobody wants Hayes. That's including the Pirates. I don't know about that.
I disagree.
I don't know that you would get anything substantial for him, but moving him would free up some money for you, which they need to be doing. Like, let's just call it what it is. Money out, money in.
He has to be attached to somebody.
I agree.
And has to go to a team that doesn't need him as a hitter but could use him as a fielder.
And there are teams out there that would look at him. He's arguably the best, not just infield defender in Major League Baseball, arguably the best defender in Major League Baseball. Yep. I looked last week at defensive runs saved. He led, I don't know if this was infield or overall, but he had minus 11. Or plus 11,
plus
I guess
11,
it would be.
Plus 12, 11.
He's plus 12 now.
Yeah.
And I think the next closest guy was at like plus 5 or 6.
5, yep.
Like he absolutely laps the field defensively. So there are going to be teams that are deficient defensively that could use a guy like that. If the Pirates could hit, he would still have value for them. He's a positive wins above replacement player despite having as little power, this isn't hyperbole, as any player in the league and at a power position. So there's still value there with him. There's just not value on a team. He's a luxury on this team. Here are some of the guys that were mentioned by Bob Nightingale that the Pirates are going to take calls on. Mitch Keller, Andrew Heaney, which is an obvious one. IKF, his contract expiring. He's an obvious one. Then he writes David Bednar, Brian Reynolds, Tommy Pham. I mean, come on.
Brian Reynolds, huh?
Yeah. Which, that has me terribly conflicted because you'd be selling at a low point. And when he's good, he's one of, if not your best hitters. And so you would be subtracting a hitter to what? Then acquire a hitter?
Right.
I'm conflicted, though, because he's been so bad this year. He just has. OPS below 700. He's making $100 million. He's been arguably their most disappointing player. O'Neill Cruz at this point has to be included in that conversation of disappointments. Massive disappointment, especially the way that he started. I think you wait on Brian Reynolds, and if you are going to trade him, you do it in the offseason. You don't do it now. You see if he can rehab his image. You see if he can play better in the second half of the season. And if you really want to do it, you do it. Or if he hits well enough, you say, I'm not doing it because he's a solution, not part of the problem. So I wouldn't move him now.
But he'd be very attractive if you're a team that is in contention. Right? I mean, clearly.
Because he's a bounce back candidate. Yeah,
well,
you're right.
I mean,
about that.
You're not going to put him in the position where he has to be a hero. You know, if you are one of these top dog teams, like, he's just like, in my opinion, well, he's better than Cabrian Hayes at the plate, clearly. But I feel like if you put him down in the order and the way he hits, he could switch hit and things of that nature. Like, that's a guy that can really take you to a World Series if you just need a guy that can hold up the bottom of the order.
Yeah, if he's
or the middle of the order.
He's your 5-6
hitter. 5-6, like, think about that. If you're a team that's, like, close.
And you
would give up a lot for that.
Yeah, if you're acquiring him, because I say you'd be selling him at a low point, and you would, but also you're expecting, I'm sure the Pirates are expecting, a bounce back from him. You say you're not looking for a hero, and it just went through my mind. One of the great all-time banger songs of all time, Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Nice.
Dom, you agree with that? One of the all-time banger songs of all time?
If I had listened to it,
that's not helping.
If I had listened to it, I would probably agree with you, but I have never heard it.
You should come back with that song at the start of the next segment.
Okay.
I would like to hear it so I know what you're talking about. Do you think I'll know the song?
Absolutely. Okay. All-time banger that I did nothing for there. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So that was Bob Nightingale who mentioned all those guys. ESPN listed three players among their top 50 most likely to get traded this year: Andrew Heaney, IKF, Dennis Santana. I don't know that I want to trade Bednar and Santana.
Yeah, keep one.
I'd keep one. So whichever you could get more value for, I would ship out.
And it's probably going to be Santana because of the Pittsburgh ties. I hate to say it, but
there was a report that a couple of off seasons ago, the Pirates had a deal in place to trade Bednar, and Bob Nutting nixed it. I think it was with the Orioles.
Yep, there you go.
So there's something to that, Mr. Dickerson. Coming up next, some...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
You got to get on that YouTube stream right now. It's about to be a dance party up in here. Wake your ass up at 6:36 in the morning.
This is real good. You're right. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dom, doesn't this get you going?
I love this song.
It's a great song.
We got to put this a part of our repertoire.
I think we just need to come back with it every damn segment. Where have the good man gone?
This might be our new 6 a.m.er.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Shrek.
Isn't there a commercial out there right now with this in it? That's what it is.
There's one with Gloria in it. I think for Southwest Airlines, that song gets me going like I'm a... Wait a sec. Oh! I'm holding out for a hero. Intern RJ, are you moved?
Yeah, this is a great song, but I'm more of a Total Eclipse of the Heart kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. We're coming back with that at 6:50 now.
Nice.
Let's put Dom to work.
Nice.
Search our system far and wide. You can keep it going. Just underneath. Yeah. Texture, okay song, not a banger. How about you kiss my ass? How about that? Okay, texters are now writing, and it's the Arby's Gyro song.
That's right. That's right. I hear it, like, every day.
Gyro Hero, I get it.
Yep.
Well played. Texter, this song is 100% known from Shrek. I don't know if that's true, but I know that I associate it with Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
That soundtrack, awesome. The Shrek soundtrack?
I haven't seen Shrek in a while. I got to rewatch it.
We just watched it not that long ago. Holds up. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's such a good movie.
Your guy Michael Myers again.
Mike Myers.
Yeah, right.
Mike Myers. But you know who was originally supposed to be Shrek, right? And they have like voiceovers of it. They actually have clips.
Robin Williams?
No.
Who?
Chris Farley.
Is he still with us?
No. I think they had like half the movie done, actually. And he passed away.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And then Mike Myers took over. They were like best friends.
I mean, Mike Myers did an outstanding job. He basically just took Fat Bastard and made him a cartoon character. Yeah. I guess this was a big deal back in the Penguins' 2016 and 17 cup runs. Honey Bonino! And now he's back. This is perfect. It's all come full circle. Paul Skeens has been a hero for this Pirates pitching staff, despite the fact that he's 4-7. Greg Brown alluded to it. He throws his first pitch, and Greg Brown's like, I don't know if they're going to let him go deep in this game. I'm like, dang, man. They're doing the innings watch again? Like, he's been doing everything he can to go deeper into ball games. And going into yesterday's game, he was 1 or 2 in the league in innings pitched. And they pulled him after 78 pitches, and it actually wound up being like the perfect circumstance to do it, because he had given up 4 runs in that second inning. It's as much as we've really ever seen him labor. But he was great in the first inning, and then he retired his last 7 batters faced. He could have gone an extra inning, for sure. He routinely gets up around 100 pitches.
Why do you think the innings watches was yesterday?
I don't know why yesterday. That's the good question.
I heard that from Greg Brown.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? I immediately, you know, you get alert. You're like, well, why? Why? Why is there?
That's exactly right.
And I couldn't figure out why.
Because we had just talked to Mackey, correct me if I'm wrong, on Friday. Said, are they going to be watching Skeens innings this year? And he said, no.
Right.
And then they did. And I'm happy Greg said something beforehand, because getting pulled at 78 pitches after you've retired 7 straight, if we didn't know about it beforehand, even though he gave up the 4 runs, I think it would have sent all our alarm bells going. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yep.
So it sounds like it was all part of the plan. I thought we were beyond this, though, with Skeens. And I'm just wondering how careful they're going to be with him the rest of the way, because they're out of it right now, but there's still half the season to go. So you're not going to wave the white flag, but are they really going to ramp down on him in September? And the reason I would guard against this, if I'm them, and I'm projecting here, I have no idea what they're going to do. This could have been a one-off. But I want to see him go 200-ish innings this year so that he can do it again next year. Like, I don't want them to dial him back. It's always a progression with these guys in modern-day baseball. You're going to add like 30% or whatever. We talked to Zangrilli about this a ton last year because of Jared Jones, because of Paul Skeens. And I don't want them to pull too far back on him. So then next year, if they're ideally in it, realistically or not, but they're hoping to be in it, I'm just hoping that by the end of the season, when they're actually quote-unquote in the stretch run, that now it's like, oh, can he do this? He's never done it before. I don't want him to do that.
See, baseball's such a different animal, but like, wouldn't you think, like, I mean, at least I think, like, if the less pitches, the more that you can pitch in the future. Like, if you are monitoring pitches this year, it's like, okay, well, that means that he can pitch more next year if we are in it, instead of actually having to ramp him all the way up this year to get to, you know, 200.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be a reverse effect, but it's different in baseball.
I mean, it could be. I don't think anybody knows. It's a pseudoscience.
Right.
Like, does holding him back mean that he's going to have a harder time getting ramped up to that in the future? Or is it like a running back? You're going to save some carries on the front end?
That's how I look. That's how
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they know. And so I'm not crushing them for it. I am also wondering, too, like, if they were to dial him back a lot later in the season, like, is that going to affect his Cy Young chances? I don't want to see that happen.
That too.
Because now he's 4-7. We've never seen a starter win the Cy Young with a losing record. We've seen guys who have had records that aren't, you know, overwhelming win it. You need every statistic that you can get to win the thing if you're going to have a losing record. So I'd like to see 200 innings. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see 200 strikeouts. I'd like to see all those things. So I'm just curious as to where it's going to go. And again, a texter writes in, no need for him to pitch deeper in a game that was lost. Yeah, it actually kind of worked out. Not that you wouldn't have rather seen him pitch well, but you're down 4. You know you weren't going to score enough runs off that dude, off their guy.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Pretty good.
They were talking about his extension, which has been such a big talking point for Bailey Falter, who weirdly wasn't mentioned in any of that trade scuttlebutt, which might be good because he's controllable and cheaper than Mitch Keller. But Bailey Falter's got that great extension, so his 91-mile-an-hour fastball looks like it's like 97, 98. This dude has the best extension in the sport and was throwing 102. We saw it with Horowitz in that first inning. The ball was in the catcher's glove before he swung. It was incredible. Oh, he's throwing 100. We're used to it. We see 100 all the time. He's releasing it from your chin. Like, that ball's coming out 5 feet in front of the plate. Hate that guy. I hate them. I hate everyone who's good. Mm. Oh, we got Skeens. Yeah, we got our guy. And he might not be as good as Skeens, but that guy looks like he'd be pretty close. Reds just called up a guy. He throws really damn hard. They got one too. And they have a winning baseball team. Now I'm just rambling. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We haven't spent much time at all on the Penguins lately, and we're not going to spend a ton of time on them today. But they've got the 11th and 12th picks in the upcoming draft, which is Friday. Oh, man. What points? I don't know how hard we want to make Dom's job today. I feel like we just need to come back with banger after banger after banger today.
All right.
You could text us some bangers.
Michael Jackson.
At 412-928-9370. Yeah.
We already have one.
We do. Yeah. You can just keep it going real, real softly in the background.
Softly.
50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. NHL draft coming up. Penguins have the 11th pick, and they have the 12th pick, because the Rangers said, here, you can have this. Have it this year. We want to keep ours for next year. And it makes all the sense in the world, I think, from the Rangers' perspective. If they're good next season with Mike Sullivan, then they could use that pick at the deadline to try to acquire some talent. If they stink, then they could be in the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes. It's why I wanted the Penguins to get next year's Rangers pick. Two bites at the apple to get Gavin McKenna. But so they've got the 11th and 12th pick in this year's draft, and nobody has any idea who these draft prospects are. We're not going to do that. It's not like the NFL draft. It's not even like the Major League Baseball draft or the NBA draft, which took place last night. Josh Yeo wrote a good piece in The Athletic. There's like five or six guys who are projected to be potential stars in this draft. And he made the case that the Penguins should trade the 11th and 12th pick to get one of those stars. I'd be all about that.
Mm-hmm.
He made a great case. You don't win the Stanley Cup because necessarily of role players. And I know everyone's going to talk about Fedotenko back with Tampa, and everyone's going to talk about superstar Max Talbot in 2009. But you look at the history of Stanley Cup winners. And you've got a guy, probably a couple guys. And the players who are projected to be there at 11 and 12 for the Penguins could be good players who could add to your depth and can be, again, good NHL players. Package them, go get a star.
Yeah, why not?
I'm totally for that.
Mm-hmm.
I got zero problem if they do that. And it might, I think, conflict with some conventional wisdom, like the Penguins are pretty far away from legitimate championship contention, so why not add a couple of really good players, get quantity, that's still quality, instead of getting the best possible quality. I'm all about quality. The Penguins also have been known in their history for stars.
Mm-hmm.
Lemieux, Jagr, Malkin, Crosby, not necessarily in that order. Get another one.
Yeah, why not?
Totally for it. I can't talk right now. I'm too locked in. You could jack it up a little bit.
This is one of your favorites?
Oh, yeah. Someone says you have to come back with Final Countdown by Europe. Another good one.
Very good.
Texter writes in Phil Collins in the air tonight.
Good
That's
one.
A banger.
Yep.
But too slow of a build for our purposes, I
uh-huh,
think.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the hottest songs of all time, too.
What year do you think this came out?
Imagine somebody singing this to you. I need you tonight. Need you more than ever. 1983?
Yeah, I'm going to say 84. Dom, you got it?
Oh, you want me to look it up?
Sure.
I'm on it.
No, I'm going to say 85.
Someone writes in Everlong by the Foo Fighters. Good song. Get the hell out of here with that, though.
1983.
Oh!
Wow, you got me. Look. Yeah, celebrate that one.
Yeah.
Celebrate it.
I got one. I never get them.
Dog.
Jukebox Hero by Foreigner, yeah. Michael Jackson, Can't Let Her Get Away. I don't know if we can actually do this today because I'm not gonna pay attention to anything.
Right.
We just can't let it run under the entire segment.
Well, you can.
Ignition by R. Kelly. I think we're gonna avoid him.
That was a good song when it came out, though.
Great song. All right. Pat Bostick is going to join us today from 7 o'clock until 10, as he always does. And we'll give him a chance to react to what Aaron Rodgers said with Pat McAfee 2 days ago. Mark Caboli with a couple of hot takes yesterday with Joe Starkey, which we'll get to at some point in the show. Also, with Pat, which quarterbacks for the 2026 draft does he like? Because Mel Kiper came out and said that Cade Klubnik from Clemson's his number one guy. A lot of goodies planned for the next 3 hours. Jeff Hathorn at 9:35.
Quiz Dom, too.
And we're going to quiz Dom. I wrote that down. You can tell that I don't have things planned out well today. I just know we're going to get to all these things with Pat. When exactly are we going to get to him? I don't know. And is Pat going to be on time?
Probably not.
I said last week, oh, we know we're not going to get Pat to like 7:09, and he walked in here at 6:58, that wily minx. Fan weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Partly sunny today. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Boy, did it cool it down yesterday in the evening. It felt nice.
Yes.
Did you go outside?
Nice. Oh, yeah. Did some drills with the kids, and they had baseball practice.
What do you mean, drills?
Drills in the backyard.
You have them running?
Oh, yeah.
Weighted vest and such?
Oh, yeah. I had my middle son pull me in a wagon across the yard.
I think I would just do that as a hobby. And not in the backyard, but take me to Permanis now.
Yeah, down the street.
Like you're the emperor or something. Partly sunny today, high 87. Hey, Sidney Crosby, low 71. Oh, Evgeny Malkin, all right. Pat Bostick joining us next, Fan Morning Show. You're the best around, it's a good song.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.